Hello, everybody. I hope you're well. So today God told me that I had launched, or he had launched, my ministry. And you would think it was about pomp and fun. You can't even talk. So Jesus said that today marks the first day of my ministry. As a woman of God, as a prophetess, and as I was planning to come online, somehow my Wi-Fi, I don't have Wi-Fi connection, so I'm going to make this recording and post it as a recording. But it really hurts me because there's no pomp. It's not fanfare. Some of us think that working for God is so glamorous. It's not. I look at how people are suffering, and people need God, and they need hope, they need a word from God, but they've turned their backs on him, and the only thing they care about is themselves and what they eat and what they drink. And that is the very thing that Jesus said we shouldn't do, that we shouldn't worry about what we eat or what we wear. Because after all, he clothes the sparrow, he feeds the sparrow, he clothes the lilies, and they are more majestic than some of us are. And I'm full of beauty, and God thinks about a sparrow. How much more human being? And we're just so depressed. A lot of people feel so undeserving. They want to die. They want to kill themselves because they don't have the job that they want. They don't live where they want to work. They don't work where they want to work. They don't live where they want to live. They don't feel appreciated. And God said that your enemies, the enemies of a man, will be the members of his own household. And they don't understand that it doesn't take the approval of man. Even your own sister will turn against you, your own brother. That's what he said. Jesus said he came to turn brother against father and daughter against their mother, to bring sword because of the division that faith in Christ brings. Because some don't believe, and they'll punish you for believing. They'll persecute you, just like Cain killed Abel, because Abel was righteous and Cain was jealous, because God accepted Abel. So today I just want to talk about your stolen dreams. Some of us have stolen dreams. We don't even know what we're doing on this earth anymore. And it's so easy to be depressed. But I just want to tell you that there is hope. And don't commit suicide. Don't dim your light. If you depend on God, there is so much he can offer. There is still hope. You can still find joy in the presence of God. There is fullness of joy. You don't have to be in a 6-bedroom mansion. You don't have to earn 6 figures. In fact, there are some who have just that, and they're so miserable because it's about the heart. So these past 21 days, actually 25, I hadn't been paid, so I didn't have money. And God said, it's not about food. It's not about your rent. It's not about not eating, because I didn't have anything in my refrigerator. He said it's not about food. It's about your heart. God is talking to us about our heart and our heart posture towards Him. He doesn't want us to put anything ahead of Him loving you and you loving Him back. So you may not afford your regular cup of cappuccino, but God still loves you. And He wants you to love Him back. So you're not able to go out with your friends because you don't have money. So what? So what? God still loves you, and you're supposed to love Him back with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you're not the only one who's gone through this. So many people have gone without food. It said that Elijah took a 40-day journey without food. He went to a different region while he was running away from Jezebel. Until God directed him to the widow of Zarephath to be fed, because God needed to bless her. And at some point, angels were feeding him. So the funny thing is, I got to eat. I ate like five or four times in this 25 days. You know, it wasn't enough. And somehow God was feeding me at night, like in my sleep, because I'd wake up with energy. I didn't even think I'd be able to get out of bed some days. And I put God to test. I told Him He had to come through, and He reminded me this of, my God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep you in the valley. God kept me in the valley. It's God who keeps you in the valley. So like I was saying, I'm not launching my ministry amid pomp and show. Even now, I'm still lucky. Even now, I'm still in luck. That doesn't stop God from ministering. Jesus fed hungry people. They were still listening to Him. He didn't have to. He didn't have to feed the 5,000. He had compassion on them, because they'd been with Him for days. And their hunger didn't stop them from listening. And it didn't stop Him from ministering. And God, the Father, had mercy on them too and blessed the food, and He multiplied it so they could eat. But that was secondary. Their souls were already fed. Their souls had been fed, their spirits were nourished. That was more important. It wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the food. So I went out today because I was hoping to get some food on credit, like from a store nearby, and they were closed. The shops were closed. And it occurred to me that people are suffering. They don't have money to run their own stores. I know the sad bit is, some of them have stock. They locked up their stock. Oh, and went to find something else to do because nobody is buying from them. and it's all shut up. And I asked this lady for yogurt. And she told me she couldn't give me because she's an employee and she's supposed to account for everything in the evening, all the stock that's remaining. And she told me that some people, they promise to pay, they go away with yogurt worth 30 shillings. And they can't afford to pay for it with 30 pop. That's like 30 cents. 30 cents in dollars. 30 cents. And it just broke my heart. Well, I know my case. I know why I haven't been paid. I know that I'm going to get money eventually, but there are people that don't have such hope. Which brings me to my next point. Some of us, like me, have been lied on the job. That was a false witness, because that's what happened to me. They suspended me with no good reason. It's something that should have been settled in a better way. But they chose to get me on suspension without pay just because somebody mixed things up against me. They concocted a tale and made me look bad. As some of you have been under witchcraft attack like me. It was witchcraft. They looked for a loophole to make me look bad and kept triggering emotions and making incantations against me so that I would look bad and setting up scenarios that would work against me. And that's what witches do, but some of us have witches on our jobs. That's why we can't progress, we can't get promotion, we're always frustrated. I pray that God will get you out of that job or keep you in the valley, like the song says, give you wisdom and knowledge. Pray to God for wisdom because you need it. If it is not time for you to leave, you will not leave. But if it is time, then you just have to go. In my case, God had already told me it's a wrap. He told me it's time to go. I had learned what I needed to learn. I was undercover. I was on assignment. There are things I needed to learn for my ministry. But if it is not time for you to go, pray for wisdom and pray to God, because a lot of witches are on the jobs. They are witches and wizards, and some of them are on assignment to kill you or trap you or initiate you into something, into their cult. And now there is so much Illuminati initiation. They want you to join them. Because they'll make you frustrated. So if you can't beat them, you'll think that joining them is easier, but it's not. They suffer too. They have crazy quarters too. They stay up all night. They also fall sick. They also get broke. And then I also remembered to ask to tell you about something else. Which is organizations that are under witchcraft manipulation. They've been sold to the devil. The organizations that are wholesale sold out to the devil. Just like there are organizations that are led by Christians and they have godly virtue. The organizations that don't. And when you work there, they're trying to either initiate you into some cult or make your life miserable and frustrated. And they put you in debt unnecessarily. They don't pay you on time. They just frustrate you. They set you up for disaster. And even their products are meant to trap people. The people, their clients, the people they sell to are part of their target market for initiation too. They want to trap as many people as possible, cage their destiny, or initiate them. That's the thing. It's either you're caged, you lose your virtue, you lose your sense of direction, or you get initiated into their cult too. And you start working for the devil. And if God hasn't told you to work in such a place, don't. Because you'll be working for the devil without knowing that you're funding and you're being productive for Satan. I think that's all I needed to share today. I'm praying for each one of you who has been bound by the devil to be loosed now in Jesus' name. May no harm fall upon you. May no scheme or plot of the enemy succeed against you. I break every arrow, oh God, that is upon you or has been directed towards you. I remove every arrow from you that is already inside of you. That root of bitterness, that sickness, that money, micromanaging and manipulation of the mind. Come out of them in Jesus' name. I command it to come out. Be blessed this evening. This day, may you have hope in Jesus alone. It's not about the mansions. Jesus said there are mansions in heaven. It's about loving Him, and all these things will be added. Don't worry about anything. Don't fret. Don't be embarrassed about your circumstance, because it's about the testimony that will come out of it eventually. Because all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Be blessed. Bye-bye for now. See you next time. God bless you.
Hello, welcome to Mapped for Service. And today I'll be talking about satanic blockages. Yes, most of us are blocked by the devil. Now, just like most of us will never experience Jesus on a one-on-one, but we do have people that have represented Jesus in our lives because they showed up for us when we needed help. They were right on time, they were kind, they were gracious, they gave us the exhortation or encouragement we needed. So it is with the devil. He's not going to show up on a face-to-face, but there are people that are used by the devil himself, and they work for him, whether they know it or not, directly or indirectly. Some of them are just a discouraging voice that is in your space. It could be a relative, a friend, a colleague. And some of them are total strangers who are working behind the scenes to thwart your progress and to ensure that you come to a total standstill. So I'm going to be talking about those ones in particular. Now, we do have confidence in people, and in the first group of people that I've mentioned who are used by the devil, we do have a group of people that we trust and we go to them for encouragement or for just a sounding board, just to hear, hey, I want to do this at this project. I'm planning to go back to school. What do you think? Now, those people can also be a discouraging voice, a negative voice that is used by Satan to make sure that you don't proceed. Now, Satan does not work directly as Satan. He has a whole hierarchy of minions and powers. You've had, in the Bible, it talks about principalities and powers. It talks about demons, wickedness in high places. So we do have a whole hierarchy of evil spirits, principalities, powers, and then powers, and then also there are people who are demonized. So a demon will not come to you as a demon spirit, but sometimes they get into people just like the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of darkness uses the same principles or the same attributes, sort of like characteristics of the kingdom of light. So you'll find that the same way the Holy Spirit or the of God himself indwells in us through his spirit, which is the Holy Spirit who lives in us, then also in the demonic realm, then demons can enter a person, especially when people are looking for power or they're discouraged or they've been traumatized. There usually is a loophole for them to have to carry a demon. Sometimes it's through the laying of hands by an evil person or a quote-unquote priest who is a voodoo priest, a priest who's working for Satan. When they lay hands on you, they transfer certain things inside of you, and those things are demonic spirits. So once there is a portal or a gateway for a person to be possessed or to have a demon in them, then they are fully controlled. They are controlled by those demons to different extents. Let me not say fully controlled, because there are different levels of control by these demons, and sometimes it's very subtle. Like, you wouldn't think that your mother who gave birth to you has a demon, because sometimes they seem okay, but sometimes they have outbursts of rage, or they're just negative. So it does depend on the level of control that this demon has over this person. So for the highest hierarchy, there is almost full control, because this person has given themselves. For the highest hierarchy, I mean the hierarchy in the rank of workers of the devil, those who know that they work for the devil. Some of them actually don't know, but they're still fully demon possessed, because they have been overtaken by demonic spirits and they can't shake them off. So we're talking about those who've gone insane, people who are almost always suicidal and depression and all that. They've been overtaken, those who've lost senses of themselves. They no longer know why they do what they do. They're totally controlled by the demonic. So I wanted to tell you about another class of people, which is people in your space, or people who you may not know, but they're actually working favors for Satan, in terms of Satan is using them to cripple your life and to bring your destiny to a standstill. Remember, this is mapped for service, and in the whole process, or what we're seeking to achieve here, is that you get to reach your destined purpose, and your purpose will have different stops along the way. It is what you were created to do, but there are things along the way I would call maybe milestones that are your destiny. Like, people are destined to be great actors, famous politicians or famous artists, actors, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is that using that destiny, they achieve something else. For some people, they convert their fame into goodwill ambassadors or into social justice, a community service. They become a voice for God, perhaps even to preach the gospel. You've seen Christian footballers that are used in ministries because they're already popular or famous because of their soccer skills or football skills. So being a famous soccer player or a very, very renowned or high achieving soccer player is not their purpose, that is part of their destiny, and then the purpose is fulfilled through their destiny. So what I'm talking about is now your destiny, your mapping of the things that you have been through in life and seeing how they lead to your destiny and eventually your purpose. So in reaching your destiny, there will be there will be roadblocks, and those roadblocks can be created through satanic means. There are people who basically are jealous of you. They don't want you to progress in life. They've seen your star. They've seen your progress in life. They know that you're heading to a bright, bright future or destiny, and they don't want that to happen because they're jealous of you. So what they do, they could go to a satanic altar and ask that your life be cut off prematurely, yeah? So you have premature death happening even in family, and it doesn't just happen all of a sudden. It may begin with it could actually happen all of a sudden, like through an accident or sudden brain damage from the accident. It could even be a heart attack, a stroke, or it could even be a prolonged illness. So there are different strategies that demons who have been sent out to achieve this request will achieve their mandate or what they've been contracted to do. So when an evil person goes to an altar, they lay down their request and they tell the voodoo priest or whoever that they want you dead, as an example. And if they want this person X dead, then the voodoo priest or the person who has been charged with that assignment will then assign another person, like an underling or an understudy, to do the work. And they usually work with demons, and they're usually demon possessed themselves, and they're fully controlled by the demonic, and that way they do exactly what the demon tells them to do in order to fulfill this request. Now if we're working with a marine spirit, which is what I am, a marine and serpentine kingdom, which is what I have experienced through attacks, then they will send out spirits of the marine, and you'll find that these spirits are controlled by water. So this person who has a demon in them, controlling their mind or whatever, sometimes they hate being called triangular programming, like the voodoo priest still has control over this person who has the demon, and then the demon has been assigned with a task through this person, and then this person who has a demon can actually control spirits under the demon's control so that they are sent out to achieve certain forms of attack against you. You see the programming, right? It's like a triangle. Or, you know, it could be that they have direct control as well, like the voodoo priest himself will attack you directly. And the forms of attacks I have seen, mostly the common ones are demonic spirits are sent against the victim or the person that they want to finish their life. Number one, to rape them. Yeah, so you get people who talk about having sex in the dream, sex in the night. There's somebody who comes to sleep with them. These are not just spirits coming to have fun. They're actually coming to attack you. So when they sleep with a person, they're transferring sickness. they're transferring a form of attack, curses. They're causing stagnancy. They cause your mind not to function fully. So there are certain things that happen. So in the morning when you wake up, you're not at 100%. It feels like you're groggy, but something also has happened, like something has been stolen from you. If you had an opportunity that morning to present to a board this great idea, product launch or whatever, suddenly nothing seems to work. If your fiancé or fiance was going to propose, suddenly your fiancé doesn't want to propose anymore. It's like it steals, they're sleeping with you, steals opportunity, steals virtue, steals grace, even your normal favor that you'd have during the day, that you just have favor, suddenly you don't have that favor. It's not just for that day, it's also the things, destiny markers that will change your life. They steal those from you. So in very, very high opportune moments, they will come and sleep with you to steal that opportunity from you, your opportunity to be promoted, your opportunity to get married, your opportunity to make lots of money, like your business deal. It just suddenly goes sour. So that's one. And then the other one, they can send, so they can send demons to sleep with you. The other thing they can do is send colleagues or friends or people that you know have your ear, or you have their ear, and they send you all this lies, basically, to derail you. So you share with a friend that you want to start a business, or you plan to go back to school, or there's somebody who you know looks like they want to marry you, and suddenly this friend is giving you the opposite advice of what you should do. So tell you, no, I don't think you should go back to school to do a master's. Why don't you do a diploma? I tell you, no. So you want to do this business, or you know, in this industry it's too high risk and you don't have the money and all that. So they're just trying to discourage you. Sometimes even the opposite is true. Like, you will share this with a friend or whatever, and they will seem to encourage you. They'll actually tell you, yeah, I think this man is awesome. He seems caring all. But this quote-unquote friend is actually a witch, or they have a monitoring spirit inside of them that monitors what they hear from you and what they say to you, so that the person who's monitoring, remember I talked about a person who has a demon or a spirit inside of them that is still being controlled by the voodoo priest. So the voodoo priest gets to hear everything and uses it against you. So in as much as you've shared with them, you're actually sharing with the voodoo priest or the witch or the warlock who has been contracted to finish your life. So guess what? As much as the friend is encouraging, they actually are connected to an altar, maybe unbeknowing to them or knowingly, they're sending information to an altar that is being used to cancel the good fortune that's coming into your way. So to sidetrack you, to derail you, or to make you make that decision, but it'll cause you pain and suffering. Okay? So they try to make it almost impossible for you to achieve your dream. Then the other thing that they could send you a direct attack, like causing an accident. So it may seem like it was a road accident, but it's not. It's actually, this has happened to me twice. It's actually pre-planned and organized through incantations. So during the night, witches, warlocks, they have these seances. They have these meetings at night. God actually showed me two such meetings. I believe there were two or three. One of them was, I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, I could just mention it. One of them was a meeting to do with relatives. The other meeting was colleagues. So that tells you the camps that have been fighting me, relatives and colleagues. So in the seances, one of the seances that I as had a sneak preview of, they were actually planning my life. Like, they were saying, you know, she should be doing this and that, she should be washing the dishes, she should be, you know, doing menial tasks. So basically they were assigning me to a menial task, and I just lost my job, right? So they can sit down, and they actually do sit and have a meeting. Well, not literally sit, but they have meetings whereby they decide that this is how your life will pan out. And so in those meetings, they can actually agree that you will have an accident in the morning, you will have you will have no success in your workplace, you will get fired, you will lose your job, or you will lose your marriage, you will miscarry, you can have various different kinds of evil decisions that are made against you. So if you don't pray about it, or if you're not keen, what happens is in the morning, those things start to play out. Can actually be as immediate as that morning. So they were meeting, let's say, at 2 a.m. and that morning you will wake up and find that that's how they're manipulating your life. And that is how things have been manipulated against you. And so the accident is not just an accident. It has been decreed on an evil meeting, on an evil altar, in a meeting. And they have decided that you're going to die. So suddenly a vehicle loses control. It's not like it just loses control. The spirits that have been sent out to do that. It couldn't be a voice in your head that tells you to cross the road, and yet there's a vehicle coming. You know, so again, the other thing that happens a lot for a lot of these demonic strategies to work is they put what you have as a false Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, you know that God has His Spirit in you, so that He directs your life. But in the case of an implanted evil spirit, the spirit is one that talks to you, and you think it's your thoughts, but it's actually a demonic voice telling you to jump over the 5th, 7th floor, 17th floor. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never tell you to jump to kill yourself. You get these voices, and sometimes it actually seems like a very rational thing to do, but it is not of God. So again, you have to ask God for discernment so that you know the voices that come from Him and the false voices. And the voice of God will always lead you towards truth and everlasting joy. And He'll never lead you towards sin, like go and sleep with this person, go and murder this person, or steal a document, forge a document. That is not a voice that comes from God. Again, some of the lines are very blurred, so even if it's a rational or seemingly rational thing to do, you need to ask God to show you and to give you a spirit of discernment so that you only follow the voice that is His. So back to my example where I was assigned menial tasks, just by way of example, maybe I'll have a voice inside of me saying, go and wash the dishes, clean the house. You know, you need to clean that cup and all that. And yet it is not of God. And it may seem like something that God would want me to do, like to keep my environment clean, but not knowing that it's actually a way to slavery. It's voices that are causing or enhancing the initial request that you will become a slave to the people that met and agreed that. So those are the main attributes of how this stagnation that is caused. Again, the causes of stagnation could be like a generational curse. It could be that there are people that worshipped these demons, and so these demons continue to demand worship. And some people are actually set aside as sacrifices to these demons in terms of their life, either is dedicated to them so that they will serve them, or they become a victim of sacrifice, like they're the ones that die to appease this demon or to keep the demonic worship. So that's how you find a lot of families have mysterious deaths occurring within a certain pattern. Maybe it's the firstborns, or it's that the lastborns don't progress. It's not just that the lastborns don't progress. There could be a demonic pact or contract that says that every lastborn will serve this demon, this water demon, or the serpentine, or whatever kind of deity that it is. It's like that is how they are worshipped, by causing stagnancy. So you find that life is kind of slow for these people who've been dedicated, but it's not that it's just slow. It's just that there is a contract that needs to be destroyed. So the prayers you make have to be very, very targeted. And I'm going to just give you an example of one such prayer. You could say or pray that every evil contract that is standing between me and my success, I command it to be torn down now in the name of Jesus. I command it to be destroyed by the power in the blood of Jesus. You could pray that any evil assignment that has been assigned against you, let that assignment be frustrated. Let it be annulled and destroyed now in the name of Jesus. You could say that every evil person who's working against your destiny, any stolen virtue, any star that has been stolen, may it be replaced now, and every virtue replaced in the name of Jesus. By the power in the blood of Jesus, let every person who is speaking against your success, against your destiny, let their mouths be shut forever. Let their words never come to pass. You could also pray against demonic powers and voodoo priests. Every voodoo priest who is sitting to utter negative words against me, to utter negative experiences and cause me to be derailed or stagnated, set back or stopped in achieving my destiny, let them fall down and die in the name of Jesus. You could pray against the evil spirit. Every evil spirit that is being used against me, let them be stopped now by the power in the blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire upon them. Let them burn to ashes. Every man or woman who is placing my name on an evil altar to cause me stagnation, to cause me to be sick or ill in any way so that I cannot achieve my destiny, to cause early death, to cause abortion of my destiny, let them be stopped now. We decree an injunction against them. Let them never achieve their evil wishes against us. And let them be handcuffed in the spirit and stopped from ever achieving that goal. Let them also, if they do not repent, fall down and die by the power in the blood of Jesus. So as you can tell, the prayers are very violent. And the reason why is that these people don't stop attacking you, and they're very determined. When you go to their meetings, if the Lord ever shows you, they are not kind, they are not gentle at all. And the witches, the warlocks, they don't stop trying. They will be at it every day, every morning. They will be attacking you. So like right now where I'm staying, I'm in a flat, what you call a flat or a block of apartments, and I'm on the fourth floor. So on the fifth floor, right above me, somebody lives there who is actually a wizard, because every day they're sending me attacks, and it's every day, every night. So if such a person, usually they're contracted, they've been paid to achieve something. And of course their rent has been paid or whatever, and their work is to ensure that whatever was requested happens, whatever was requested against me. So maybe somebody doesn't want me to, obviously, not maybe, they don't want me to succeed in life, or they want me to die prematurely, or they want me to suffer, lose my job, be thrown off my apartment due to lack of rent. So there are certain things they will be sent out to achieve, and one of them will be frustration in the workplace so that you lose your job. And actually that has happened to me already. So what they don't know is that God is overseeing this entire process. So like for me, I'm a chosen, actually my middle name is Chosen, and God sent me out to do is to free the oppressed. Now for you to free the oppressed, you need to undergo what the oppressed are going through. You cannot free people, yet you don't know the experiences that these people have been through. So in order to be more effective, I have to undergo what an oppressed person has undergone. It's almost like drug addicts, how they, once they stop doing drugs, they are the best people to preach or to reach out to fellow drug addicts. It's something like that. So God is taking me through this training, and the devil thinks he's the one that's doing it. But that's something else you need to realize, is that everything under the sun works under the control of God. It's God who makes sure that the sun rises in the morning, sets in the evening, that the earth is in orbit, that the solar system is working, that there are seasons, that there is rain, that there is sunshine, that there is balance in the atmosphere so it's not too hot, it's not too cold. God is in control of everything. Even Jesus said he clothes the lilies of the valley. He's the one that provides food for the lion. The lion doesn't go out wandering where, you know, and he provides food for wild animals. So you can tell that God is ultimately in control. Even in the spirit realm, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, meaning there is no higher power than Jesus. There is no greater power. So when all these powers are working against you, most of them are actually under the control of heaven. Like heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, is supervising them, but they don't know that. Even witches under supervision to achieve. The Bible says in Psalms that God created even the evil person for the day of destruction, meaning that God is the one who created the evil person so that he would destroy him. And sometimes God is just looking for an excuse to destroy an evil, wicked person. And that excuse could be that he is troubling the life of his righteous child, and that is enough for him to chastise the wicked person unless they repent. So do not, as Paul says, do not see it as a weird thing, or be astonished when all these things happen, because every believer has got to be persecuted. And we know the enemy's strategies and tactics, and you have to fight them through prayer. Sometimes when there's an upgrade in the spirit realm, and you're due for promotion, you have to be fought so that you can overcome that step and be promoted in God's kingdom and enter into a new dimension where you command more power and more authority. And when you're due for promotion, also it means you have to pray more, you need to read your word, and you need to seek God more. So reaching your destiny is not just about going to school. It's not just about going back to school. It's not just about getting another job to meet your bills, or, you know, the sort of humanly perceived ways of getting ahead. It's also very spiritual in nature. And like I've told you, there are different forces of evil that will be used to fight against you. And you have to get down on your knees and pray against them. One of the most effective ways of doing battle in the spirit realm is through prayer, targeted prayer, where you know who you're fighting, you know the kingdoms that are coming against you. So that means you need to also ask God to show you what is fighting you, what is blocking your way, what is causing the barrier, where the barrier is coming from, where the opposition is coming from, so that you can pray targeted prayers. So that's it for now. I hope you are going to now take this practically. And if you have relatives or friends that are blocking your way, ask God for discernment and wisdom on how to handle it, also that he will reveal who the people around you are in the spirit realm, like who they really are, what their identities are truly like in the spirit. Bye-bye for now. We'll see you. Talk to you next time. Ciao. God bless you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to Mapped for Service. So, last recording I did, the audio, I talked about satanic hindrances that cause you not to reach your destiny through stagnation, setback, and even termination of not just your destiny, but your life. So other than the demonic hindrances that I talked about, you must know one thing before I continue. Just remembered, you need to know that the more glorious your destiny, the further that you're going to advance the kingdom of God, the more famous you're going to become, or the greater your destiny, the more the attacks, the more the hindrances, and the bigger the barriers. So some people look at discouragement and barriers or barricades as a bad thing, and it causes them to go into depression or to get discouraged. But it's actually a very good indicator that you're destined for greatness and great things. So my word of advice to you is hang in there, because the more you get attacked and the more it seemed like things are not working out, it means that you are on a path to success, and that path is being fought either by the world, the systems of the world, or through demonically engineered systems and demonically engineered outcomes so that you get discouraged. So I'm just going to give you a small example right now. So right now, I talked about in the last audio that I was actually due for a payment for my workplace. So they let me off work, and they said I was a bad communicator, something that God actually highlighted to me, a bit about attitude issues or something like that. So they got me off work, and guess what? The payment process is becoming a whole other up and down, back and forth kind of scenario. I'm sure you've gone through those experiences where it's like an unnecessary prolonging of payment of your dues. Now, this is one tactic I've seen that has been played out over and over again in my life. I think this is the second time I'm seeing it. And it's a demonically engineered strategy to cause disappointment. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, disappointment. Sometimes when we are discouraged, this is the best time for the devil to derail you from your path to destiny, because he'll discourage you through certain strategies and tactics. And one common strategy or tactic is that you're not going to be paid on time, and you will be undervalued and overworked, misused and abused, and you will not be paid your worth or what is the value of your input or the work that you put in. The other thing is you are going to always be painted in a negative light. So there is no celebration. You're not going to be celebrated for your achievement. Instead, what the enemy looks for is what you did wrong and use it as a loophole in order to even further drag you down by giving you a bad reputation, firing you from work, putting you on unnecessary probation periods and suspensions and all that. So basically what the enemy is trying to do is to wear you out. You'll be overworked, you'll be given lots and lots of responsibilities, and nobody will come back to say, hey, I think you're doing a good job, or you did this and the other in a good way. So always be mindful. In fact, this sometimes isn't directly attributable to the people who are in charge of, reward or pay scales and appraisals. It's probably not even them directly, but it is through manipulation by the enemy. And I told you about the minions and the hierarchies of the ranks of demonic manipulation. So it could be that one of them has a spirit of jealousy and they don't want you to succeed, right? And that spirit of jealousy inside of them is used to manipulate the outcome so that you will never be acknowledged, right? Or your light will always be hidden, so you'll always be given the behind the scenes work so that you're never acknowledged in public. And they'll be using you to shine, so your sweat, your hard work is what is driving the processes, is the engineering of your brain, is what you've come up with that has actually led to the product launch or has led to the company being in a good light, but they'll never mention your name. So those are just some examples. So if you think about it in a negative way, you'll be feeling discouraged and disappointed. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you to dwell on your feelings of dissatisfaction and discouragement and disappointment. So disappointment is a tool of the demonic realm to ensure that you remain oppressed and depressed. Those are not good words, and they definitely don't have a positive outcome, because when you are feeling oppressed and you do get depressed, guess what happens? Your body responds to it, so you become lethargic. You're no longer friendly, you're not active, you're not actively pursuing your goals. You start to slack back and maybe get even a negative attitude towards people around you who had nothing to do with your circumstance, and your relationships domestically start to suffer, and your work relationship, you no longer respect the workplace or even your bosses, and your future boss also has to pay the price for what your former boss did. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to leave a trail of destruction in your life. So what I've come to learn is that you don't pay attention if you understand it's a tactic to make you become depressed and discouraged. Then you take it as a tactic and get a counter tactic. Now, the counter tactic for discouragement, number one, is simply recognize that the enemy is playing tricks on your emotions. He's trying to trigger your emotions. He's trying to wear you down and wear you out. And yeah, just put you down and make you sad and depressed. The enemy's number one objective is to make you suffer. In fact, just this morning, God was speaking to me because these messages come from God. And he was just telling me about how people are led to disappointment, and the whole aspect of disappointment is an emotional aspect. But if you understand that your emotions can be set aside and you can say, you know what, I shake this off, I will not be discouraged, and turn it into a positive thing. So right now, believe it or not, because I have been waiting for this payment, and what God did is, when initially I told you I got into a suspension, and it's funny how God has turned this around, because honestly, I'm getting all these messages now because of my experience out of this work suspension period. So I was put under suspension from work from 1st of this month, which is the month of November. And so the first thing God told me was, you know what, we're going to turn this into a 21-day fast. So he said, okay, so you get a 21-day suspension, I'm going to turn it into a 21-day fast. And not only that, you know what else he said? He said, even if it's for 40 days, it doesn't matter. Like, even if I don't get to be paid for the next 40 days, I would go into a 40-day fast and it would be fine. It would be just fine. So from the word go, it's like God was preparing me for that payment to be stretched, because they said they wouldn't pay me until the suspension period was over. And now the suspension period is over and they're still delaying my payment. So what's happening is that Jesus is telling me, you know what? He had actually told me, God had already said at the beginning of the month on fast that even if they stretch it and you don't get to have your payment, we could always do a 40-day fast and it will work for your benefit. So when you get into some of these fixes, God already has warned you or has told you what is going to be the counter attack or the counter tactic to reverse or neutralize the enemy's tactic. Okay? So I'm just using myself as an example. Your scenario could be different. It could be something you didn't see coming. Even in my case, I didn't see it coming, but Jesus had already spoken to me on how I would rest in his assurance that even if I was to turn this into a 40-day fast, I would be fine, because he said, you know what, we're going to turn this into a 21-day fast. And luckily for me, the ministry I serve under, or rather the ministry that is my covering, was in a 3-day fast. So I started off first, second and third in a what you'd call a communal fast. And then I broke the fast initially from when we finished that fast, and then continued on because God had said it is a 21-day fast for me. So I continued the rest of it, and the last 7 days have been totally dry. Now you need to realize, if God wants to give you provision to do something, he will do it. But guess what? There has been no, it's not like I haven't tried. I've tried. I actually wanted to break the fast at some point, but there were no resources coming my way. And that is God's way of telling you, I do not want you to break this fast, because he was more determined than I was that I see it through. And guess what? In the last day of my 7 days of not eating, that was yesterday, he said, you have launched your ministry and I am calling you a prophetess. And that is exactly what he had said at the beginning, that you're going to be launching your ministry. I'm going to use this period of no resources to launch your ministry. Now, do you think that the enemy knew that? I don't think so, because when the enemy does his math, he calculates it based on your feelings and how discouraged you're going to be. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't know everything. We put too much power on the demonic realm, and everything they get to know is actually, it is blurred. It is not a clear picture. So he knows that you are destined for great things, and especially if you're called to work for God, there will be trouble. There will be trouble because he has to fight you working for God. And if you come from a background like mine, where people are worshiping demons really and have altars, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say this, you know, my dad has an altar in his house worshiping other gods. He's in the Serpentine Kingdom. He's a wizard, a warlock actually. And when you come from such backgrounds, then that obviously means that he dedicated all of us as his kids so that we follow in the same footsteps of, you know, priesthood of a demonic nature of priesthood and priestesses. In our case, since we're all girls, we'd be priestesses. So commanding the destinies and lives of people towards evil, which is the opposite of what God calls us. As kings and priests for God, you lead people to God, towards the light. When you're in the kingdom of darkness, you lead people towards more darkness. It doesn't matter that it's coated in sugar and it looks nice from the outside. You're leading people to darkness. That's all you do every day. They even what is a semblance of a blessing is a curse. So when you bless people with money, it's a curse. When you give people something, it comes with a curse, because you are already dedicated to the kingdom of darkness. Now with the kingdom of light, if you bless people, they become more blessed, because it comes with the light and the blessing. Hello, good body, good afternoon, good evening. I'm here to highlight one of the areas that keep us from our destiny. And one of those areas is blocked finances, or finances that have been held captive by the enemy, and that's the devil. Now you might be surprised why I keep referring to the devil. It's because in this world there are only two forces, light or darkness. Now you could also be a hindrance to yourself, but when it is beyond self-improvement or personal advancement and what do they call that, like self-help books, then you need to go beyond and ask yourself, what is it that is keeping me from achieving my financial and destiny breakthrough or success? Okay, so we know that to get anywhere you need resources, and there are two main resources that I'm going to speak about, and one such resource is your money. The money is your currency, the bank balance, your bank account, your shares, your investments, anything that you have that can be converted to money. And then the other thing, and that includes your other assets as well, like your fixed assets like land and property. Now the other resource that is really important is people, and your people resource can't convert into money, because you can have favor with men and they can give you what you need. You can have friends who reach out to help you, and they give you contacts, they give you deals, they finance you, they support your venture, they make you see things in a different way, and they give you ideas as well for investments and advancing yourself. So one of the things that the enemy cripples you on is, yes, your relationships. He wants to isolate you and make you a nobody, so that nobody is thinking about you. If you realize we're in a very materialistic and capitalistic society, most of us are anyway, where people don't just embrace others because they're relatives or because they knew them in high school or whatever. Even your own siblings will stay away from you if you are not significant in society. Now, in some cases, there's an exception where people genuinely care for each other and genuinely look out for their best interest. But that is in societies that are very, very community oriented. And I would say they are not the majority. And if they are, well, I could be wrong. But where I come from and where your space is probably is, maybe it's similar to mine, is that we all are looking out for ourselves. And that means we take care of our own bills, we take care of our own problems. Really, we all have a ton of things, our head is full of things to do and things to sort out. You have the mortgage, you have school fees, you have food to put on the table, you have even deadlines to meet at work. So people are really driven by what I call a Babylonian system, and that is a system of a treadmill where you're constantly fed by desire and you're constantly working to meet your desire. And some of that desire is unhealthy because it doesn't give you a heart for people. In fact, it takes your heart away from what really matters, which is relationships and people. So if you are in a place of advantage, you never feel like you have enough. And when you're in a place of disadvantage, everybody wants to show you how disadvantaged you are. Now, there are few people I would call destiny helpers, but and again, you have to be poised to recognize a destiny helper when you see one, and they are so far in between. You have to really pray for God to bring them along your way, and sometimes they too are not opening their eyes to see how they can be of a destiny help to you. So you want to pray for destiny helpers. That is true. The other thing you want to do is to ask God to show you where your finances are blocked. Some of our finances are blocked because of the wrong attitude we have towards money. We don't really respect money. We spend it anyhow. So God rewards us by not giving us any money, which is really a punishment, because he knows once you get it, you will not respect it anyway, and you'll go back to square one. So that is an area of, yes, the self-help books and self-improvement. But there's also the area where people go out. So the other way of tying up resources is through people who don't like you, or they're jealous, or they just don't want you to progress in life. And this happens when, say, Auntie X goes to an altar, and this altar that they go to is a wicked altar. And then they place your name there, and they say that they would want you, person X, sorry, not you, but a certain person, to actually never ever succeed in life. And sometimes people go to shrines for all sorts of reasons. They go to shrines to become prosperous. They go to shrines so that they can get power. And when you go to a shrine, that voodoo priest or that person who is running that shrine, who's in charge of it spiritually, will want a ransom or offering. And most of the times that offering is somebody else who they can assault in some way or attack them. And this is the down payment that they use for you to get what you want. So usually it's you get to get what you want, but they also need a payment. And that payment could be in form of people, it could be in terms of bloodshed of an animal or goat in some African places. But we know that even human beings have been sacrificed, their destinies have been sacrificed for somebody else to enjoy prosperity and success and money, yes, wealth, riches, power. So you could be a victim of this, where somebody just evil, wicked person took your name to an evil altar and made sure that you would never meet anything in any semblance or way of prosperity, so that they could then in turn feed off of that and become the success that they want. So it could be that you also may have been sacrificed. As a sacrifice, it means that your life is at stake. They want you to die, basically, so that they become prosperous out of the bloodshed of your death. And sometimes it's set up as an accident, it's set up as heart attack or a stroke. But we all know sometimes it's not just a health issue, it's actually a spiritual satanic issue. So your finances can be tied up because somebody doesn't want you to meet your destiny or to achieve your destiny. And because of that, your resources are going to be hindered so that you don't progress in life, because you need the resources in order to progress, right? You need money in order to pay your way into your business. You need the capital, and you also need people. And yes, the enemy does attack people, so that they see you as a nobody, they see you as insignificant, and they also see you in their dreams as a person who is wicked. They'll see your face. In fact, the devil uses faces of innocent people to make them look bad. They're painted as evil. So yes, your resources can be tied up in the demonic realm. It could be through an evil person, somebody who's just jealous, somebody who just went to an evil shrine. And by the way, shrines are not like dark places. They're churches that look like shrines, like they're called churches, but they're actually shrines. During the day, they may say, oh, God is a person who worship, but at night, they're worshipping a demon, a deity, and that demon is who they sacrifice even people to and initiate them into their cult. Yes, and they tap their resources. They tap the resources of the congregation because that is part of worshiping their deity. They take up the resources. And some of those places or shrines are dedicated to marine powers. So your resources are probably tied up in the marine kingdom. And they've literally tied up your money in worship of their god in exchange for power and influence and money. So you need to pray against these things, and you pray like this: any evil person who has exchanged my destiny for evil, who has used my destiny, my star for their own success, let them die in Jesus' name. If they do not repent, let them suffer wickedness more than they have let me suffer in Jesus' name. May their own resources dry up and perish with them in Jesus' name. Power of the living God, dry up the resources of every wicked person who's using my destiny to shine. Let my destiny be restored in full in the name of Jesus. Let nothing that has been stolen from me go without being returned. Let it all return back to me in Jesus' name. Let it be replenished and restored 100-fold. Any wicked man or woman who has been succeeding and shining out of my destiny, let that shine go bad. Let it be a disgrace in Jesus' name. Let it be exchanged for shame and disgrace in the name of Jesus. Power of the living God, attack every demon that has been using this person against me. Let those demons be destroyed by the archangels of Jesus Christ, heaven's angels. Destroy and kill and totally dismember every single human being that has been used by these demons, and let these demons be sent to the darkest, deepest abyss and never again to practice wickedness in the name of Jesus. Let there be fire and brimstone in the camp of the enemy and completely destroy their camp in Jesus' name. So as you will notice, the prayers are pretty violent, and you need to be violent because you have to be adamant. You have to demand what is yours. And even for restoration, pray for restoration. Let everything that has been stolen from you be restored now in the name of Jesus. If you have any questions and comments, remember to comment, and may you find your total redemption and freedom in Jesus' name. So one of the things you're going to notice is that I talked about shrines. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Catherine. And one of the places that people go for powers in order to use them against you is a shrine. Now, a shrine can be a church, like we said in the previous audio. You can actually be attending a shrine and it is named a church. Now, these people are not of God, and you will see them and know them by their fruit. You have pastors who are sleeping with women, women who are lewd and explicitly soaked in lust and promiscuity and alcoholism. They flow with alcohol, women, and a lot of rebellion, basically. So you get to see them, and you know that the fruit is bad. And when the fruit is bad, guess what? So is the place itself. Because like I said earlier, it could be dedicated to a spirit realm that is wicked, like a demonic realm, the marine kingdom or serpentine kingdom. And one of the things I've seen is that you cannot represent the demonic without looking like the demonic. The same way that the spirit of God indwells in you, those spirits, those demons indwell in them. And the same way that the spirit of God sanctifies, cleans, and makes you holy, then the demonic spirits will also make you, guess what, dirty, just like them. And also, you cannot dedicate anything to be of an evil nature towards evil deities and then expect it to be good. So there is no kindness in these places. There's no goodness. There's no charity from the heart. Even the charity, even the goodness is wickedness. So whatever blessings they give you is a curse. Whatever money they give you is a curse. In the same way as it applies for good, wherever you're given a blessing by God, it is to sanctify, it cleans, it rewards by more blessings, blessings upon blessings. That's why Abraham was told, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Blessing and riches and blessings cause more blessings to fall. So when you go to a place and you're only acquiring curses, nightmares, and you lose your job, you cannot get promoted, your friends leave you, you're stuck, you're depressed, then that place has already been dedicated towards evil and not good. The fruit of it will tell you. So the pastors are not pastors for God, they're pastors for darkness. They're actually voodoo priests that concoct and manipulate events against you, because the demonic realm requires a sacrifice and a worship through evil. That is why sex is, you know, and fornication is actually a worship to the demonic. Masturbation is worship to the demonic. Wanton rebellion is a worship to the demonic. So when you're sinning, you're actually acknowledging and worshiping God. And when you see these things in abundance, you just know that it is driven by the demonic. So be wary. And note the characteristics of the places and the leaders where you worship. If there is no holiness, guess what? It's not a place or a church of Jesus Christ. There has to be demonstration, not just word. There must be manifestation of the word of God. There should be deliverance, transformation, lame walking. What Jesus said, these signs will follow you. The lame will walk, the blind will see, the dumb will speak. There has to be deliverance. Demons need to flee. You cannot be comfortable with your demons in a place like this. You will sense the fire of the Holy Ghost and those demons have to go. It is a holy place and you will feel out of place if you are not holy. So note places that are comfortable for demons. That is not a place of God. And these are the places that people go to for powers. During the night, there's a lot of activity. You don't know it because you don't watch the CCTV after service or at night. These are places people go to gain power, to buy. And remember, with the devil, there's nothing for free. Like I said, it was an exchange. Whatever you need, you will get it at a price. So if you want power, you'll have to sacrifice something. Usually it's money. It can even be blood of goats, animals, and even human sacrifices. And that's why we're experiencing a lot of death right now, because there's a lot of blood sacrifice that is going towards the popularity of politicians and making sure that they win ballots and votes. It happens in many African countries. And even when you go to these places, you don't sense the presence of God. There's no God. They're not driven by God at all. And these are the places that people go to thinking that it's a place of worship, but it is not. And remember also that this is totally contrary to the teaching of Jesus, because for Jesus, it is free. Salvation is free. You don't need to kill anybody to be free. You don't need to kill anybody to be delivered. You don't need to pay any money to be prayed for. You don't have to. Jesus did not ask for an offering when somebody was healed. It was totally out of their will. If you wanted to give a thanksgiving offering, it is out of their will. So note these places, stay away from them and expose them. Don't stay quiet about it, because your silence also perpetuates their activity, their wickedness. Bye-bye for now. See you in the next recording. I'll be happy to hear from you. Ciao. God bless you. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Now, one of the other things that the enemy uses against our destiny, against our being of service to others, is, yes, frustration and disappointment. I talked about that earlier, tying up of resources, which has also been covered, and the demonic realm. But also, it is about monitoring you and checking out whether you're progressing or not. Now, all the information that the demonic world has is through monitoring. It could be either that they're monitoring you through a medium or a device like a mirror, a crystal ball. I know this because I've seen it in my dreams. Don't assume or think that I have been a witch. I've seen it, and God has revealed it in dreams as well. And in various experiences that I've had, people have these mirrors in their rooms, and you think it's a normal mirror, but it's actually used to monitor you and send you attacks, because they want to know what you're doing at all times. And one of the ways that they monitor you is they put a monitoring device, which is a spirit inside of you that relays images of their life around you. So there's one that is like a tracking device that is put in your body, and then there are the ones that fly around you. Some people have said there's always a bird following them, or there's a mosquito. For me, it's been mosquitoes and fruit flies, because it's easy to overlook those. You're like, oh, it's just a fly, oh, it's just a fruit fly. And you know, and I have fruit flies even when I have no vegetables in my kitchen, and there's no fruit in my kitchen, but somehow, funny enough, there will be fruit flies, and you're wondering, what is this about? So yes, that is of the demonic realm. And so they kind of monitor your environment, but they also monitor you from inside of you. And when they monitor you from inside of you, they want to know what you're saying, and they relay that into their shrine, to their altar. And their altar is where they've built to monitor all this, and they converse with the demons, or with, I don't know, with Lucifer himself, I don't know, but with the demons or whichever deity that they worship. And these conversations are all about your destruction, never, never, ever for your good. It's always about the agenda and you serving the agenda of the kingdom of darkness. So be wary. Just know that there are monitoring agents and you need to pray against them. So you pray against them like this. Any evil monitoring mirror that has been used to monitor my life for evil, I cause it to break and shatter now. Let it break and shatter now by the power in the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, fight against everyone that is fighting against my destiny by monitoring me. I close and I poke every eye that is monitoring me. Now in the name of Jesus, let their eyes be blinded. Fire of the Holy Ghost, burn up every monitoring spirit, every monitoring device, every monitoring spirit inside of me. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let them be evicted from my body by fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost, fire upon them, double fire. Now in the name of Jesus, slay and destroy every single spirit that is working against my destiny. Now in the name of Jesus, and anybody who's monitoring me through an evil device, I cause them right now to fall down and die. Let that enemy fall down and die. The enemy of my destiny monitoring me for evil. If they live and they do not repent, let them live to see my advancement and my exaltation in Jesus' mighty name. So you got to pray against these things, and you got to tell God what he can do for you in terms of destroying your enemies, because you could assume that God knows what he wants, but he needs to hear it from your mouth. And then also you don't want to subcontract prayers, because the prayers are really for you and they're about you. And therefore, if they are about you, you want to be the one that makes the prayers, okay? Other than that, you can go online, go onto Google, download these prayers, pray them every night, midnight to 2 a.m. is the best hour, because that is when these people are really, really actively doing their wickedness. So bye bye for now. I hope this was helpful. Do be wary of that, because when people monitor your destiny, they don't want you to prosper, okay? If they're monitoring you for evil, they want to derail you, they want to put roadblocks on you, they want to make sure that you do not succeed. But you are going to succeed in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Bye bye for now. Oh, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. So other than monitoring devices, which I spoke about in a previous audio, there are witches and warlocks who actually turn into, I know this might be scary, but they actually turn into a monitoring insect. Yeah, I seen it in my house once. I was just seated and I was fasting and praying, and the Lord opened my eyes. And I saw a fruit fly hit my window and turn into a man, a muscular man. Now, it wasn't like a physical man. He was like in silhouette spirit form. And you need to pray against those as well. So you pray something like this. Any man or woman turning into a spirit, turning into a spirit and turning into a fly for monitoring of my life, I cause them to crush and burn in the name of Jesus. Let them not be able to return to their physical bodies in the name of Jesus. Let their physical bodies also die by fire in the name of Jesus. Anybody who is turning into a fly or any other insect or bird to follow me, I cause them to die by fire in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus fight against them. I surround my household, I surround my house, my office with the blood of Jesus. They will not be able to penetrate the walls of my dwelling. I soak the walls of my dwelling and my office with the blood of Jesus by the name of Jesus Christ, which is above every other name. And I command them never to return in the name of Jesus. I surround myself with a hedge of fire of protection. Fire of the Holy Ghost surround me and fight anyone that is trying to penetrate into my dwelling in the name of Jesus. Let them not be able to get through. Instead, let them be attacked when they come. Let your your angels surround me and fight against everyone that's fighting against me. Let them fight against anyone who's trying to monitor me for evil. Any eye that is monitoring me for evil, I blind it. I cause it to go blind in the name of Jesus. And I command your angels that, Father, you talked about in Psalm 91, that they would protect me and not allow even my foot to be dashed against a stone. I command that your angels, let your angels surround me and protect me and move against the camp of the enemy and fight the enemy's altars for me. Let them fight the camps of the enemy on my behalf. Let them destroy the demons that are working through these witches and wizards in the name of Jesus. Power of the Holy Ghost, fall upon those camps. Destroy them to ashes by fire. Let all altars be destroyed to ashes in the name of Jesus. Let every evil shrine burn by fire and be destroyed down to ashes by the power in the holy, matchless name of Jesus Christ. So you notice that I've used the blood of Jesus, which is one of the weapons and the key weapons that have been given to the children of God. And then I've also used the fire of the Holy Ghost, which is a protective fire but also an attacking fire. And then I've also used the name of Jesus, which of course is the most powerful name in the world. Right, so if you have any questions or comments, let me know. Notice that all these weapons are available to you. It's not witchcraft, they're actually in the Word of God. Elijah called down fire. Yes, he did. And the blood of Jesus was shed for us, for the redemption of our lives, but also in order to protect us and keep us from all harm. Because Jesus is the one who destroyed evil. We didn't. It's Jesus who did. By his blood, he redeemed us and also elevated us to a higher spiritual realm where we are called sons and daughters of God. Okay? So all these are available to you. You can Google some more. And I pray that you'll find your redemption and your freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you for now. Bye-bye.